Essentially, John Fox Potter came to defense of one of his colleagues in the House of Representatives, a colleague from Illinois, who was in the midst of a debate, representative from the state of Virginia, Roger Pryor, and John Fox Potter really got into it. And then tensions cooled, but then a couple of days later, when the publication of the congressional record for that day's events was released, Pryor thought that Potter had tinkered with it and did not accurately reflect the events, and so then they both started arguing over the written documentation of the previous debate.
So this is pretty much the Facebook of the 1800s. This is pretty much like Facebook. Something went down in school, You had your version, I don't like it, so now I'm gonna come challenge you because I don't like the version you just posted.
That second spat escalated as well, to the point then where, as more of the custom that Roger Pryor, the Virginian, was used to, dueling. So he sent a note via his, what was called a second, or via an assistant, a representative, to John Fox Potter. And in the custom of the time, Pryor merely suggested that he accept the challenge of a duel. And then it was the respondent's tradition to set the terms of the duel. Well, John Fox Potter's assistant's response was, we almost would call this trolling today. And John Fox Potter says, sure, I accept your challenge, and the terms will be Bowie knives at 4 feet. How do you come back from that response? They're going to knife fight from 4 feet at the count of three?
Come on. This is the classic mistake that angry people make. They say something stupid.
And that put Pryor in a bit of a bind. And he replies back. He says, knife fighting is, barbarous and inhuman. And John Fox Potter, his assistant, replies, dueling is barbarous and inhuman. Dueling was illegal in the state of Wisconsin and a lot of northern states. John Fox Potter, with some simple words, put him in a pickle. And so he essentially lost. And then the newspapers of the time really picked it up and generally really heaped it on Roger Pryor from Virginia. And so immediately John Fox Potter got the nickname, Bowie Knife Potter. And it just stuck. And so that was in April of 1860. Just a month later, the Republican Party, John Fox Potter being a Republican from the state of Wisconsin, the Republican Party had their convention in Chicago, and that's where they nominated Abraham Lincoln. By this time, even a month later, John Fox Potter is kind of a political celebrity, and accounts on lots of newspapers, and people essentially sending him notes and Bowie knives and tokens of their appreciation. And well, here we are today looking at a huge knife in a state capitol. So at that convention in Chicago, just a month after the incident in Washington, D.C., the pro-Union Republicans from the state of Missouri presented John Fox Potter with this 6.5-foot knife and with an inscription on it, a couple of inscriptions as well. So when you come up to the Capitol, you can read, it's a little dim, it's inscribed on a tempered metal blade, presented to John F. Potter of Wisconsin by the Republicans of Missouri, 1860. Missouri at this time is a slave state, but they did not secede and join the Confederacy. So there was many mixed feelings, emotions, opinions, obviously, on the institution of slavery. And so they were motivated, that is the pro-Union anti-slavery Republicans in Missouri were motivated to kind of get their name in on this whole spat, so to speak. And they did it in a really great way here by having this knife, which was manufactured in Boston and then inscribed by a jeweler in St. Louis. So on one side is the inscription, identifying it, and on the back side always willing to meet a prior engagement, and prior being spelled P-R-Y-O-R. Even though the knife that we're looking at is a folding knife, it's not a Bowie knife, but part of the whole blowback, if you will, is, you know, challenging to a duel, which was on its way out in American society and culture, and certainly at the political class, just hammering on this concept of a Bowie knife, even though those are John Fox Potter's words, put Pryor in a no-win situation.
Joe, it really is the meme of 1860.
It is a 6.5 foot long, 32 foot tangible meme, is it not? Certainly. Minus the witty words across top and bottom, right?
Well, it's on the back.
It's on the back side.
So then the thing that intrigues me about this knife, it sort of struck me like what sort of objects and what sort of things we connect with politics and how they've changed from 1860 to now.
This isn't a 24-hour news cycle spat. This isn't a 2012 to 2016 era spat. Certainly at the political level, at how you frame up the growing country of the United States, always the issue of the institution of slavery, always present, always there. And then over the decades, obviously with whether, however coldly people may have thought about the institution of slavery, you know, certainly there are lots of folks with the passion and the heat, and you see that even making its way to the floor of the United States Congress. You know, some of the first incidents were 4 years prior to this non-incident, really. It's though anecdotal and a relatively small story, but you look at the number of those small stories taking place, it does help you get a frame of reference why a secession would even be possible and why another part, the other half of the country, would go to great lengths to prevent that to happen. And you think of you know, what happened after this. How, you think, how in the world did we get there? Well, this is one small story represented by one big knife, but that's the, as a museum person, that's the power of the artifact. There's not a lot of objects that maybe can go singularly by themselves, go so deep in history and so wide in context, and it's really great when they can. And it's also really great when it's visually compelling. This hits it on all of those criteria, so to speak. It makes it a great museum artifact.